Congregation, please be seated. Come on in.
I have some aids. They're way back here. It'll take them a minute to get here. Anybody else? And we've got Thomas, yay. Hey guys. How's it going?
Good.
Is everything going good for you? It's a pretty day, isn't it? We had a reading a few minutes ago from a book, well, it was a letter actually, but we call it a book, to these folks called the Corinthians. They lived in Corinth. And it was St. Paul was talking to the people in Corinth. And I don't know if you were paying attention or not, but he said something pretty important about love. He said, it's the most important thing is love. And he talked a little bit about how we should treat each other if we love each other. And it's not like a touchy-feely girlfriend-boyfriend kind of love. It's not that kind of thing. It's a how we treat each other kind of thing. And somebody else said something about how important love is. Who do you think that might be? Any ideas? God. Yeah. And his son Jesus. That one too. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about that in this book. Come here, Luke, so you can see this pretty picture. It's called The Law of Love. Can you see it, Thomas, from up there? Good. Sometimes it seems like there are so many rules. It's often hard to know which ones are the most important. In Jesus' time, people argued about which rule was most important to God. One of the elders, bent over with age and wisdom, heard Jesus teaching his followers. The elder thought to himself, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. The elder leaned on his cane and scratched his white hair. You seem very wise. Tell me what is the most important rule of all. There are two, Jesus replied. The first one is to love God with all your heart and all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is to love everyone as much as you love yourself. The elder nodded. You are right, he said. The greatest gift we can offer God is to love him and love his children. You want to read the prayer
to you, baby? Dear God, fill me with love.
Amen. Thank you very much. Okay, we got a new basket here. Things are falling out for you. Needing to be loved. Yes. So let's take a time to do this because we want to hear what Jessica has to say. You don't want to put it on me. Okay, I have an idea.
I want the crown.
Okay, Jessica wants the crown.
I want the crown.
How about some putty? It's fun stuff. I've got some more.
What's
the putty? What's the putty? You go, when you take it back to the game, you find out what it is. Here you go.
And a wall on.
Alright. You can. Here you go, Thomas. Where's
my
Yes, okay.
Yes.
Yes, you may.
John Garlick, are you taking these kids to chapel?
Okay. Your name is Bolton. Yes. All right, we'll see you later.
Bye, guys. Guys.
Bye.
See ya. I come to you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Good morning, Grace Church.
Good
morning. I am Jessica Babcock. I'm Tom and Terry Harris's daughter. I come to you today from Suwanee, Tennessee. I am in my last semester of a 3-year program there and hope to be Lee one day. I have that's a high aspiration, actually, to be Lee one day. But hopefully, long before I know it, it'll be here. The time will come. Today is what we call Theological Sunday, and seminarians volunteer to go out to parishes, and I'm the lucky one because this is my home, and I get to come preach to y'all where I grew up. What a treat. So today, we're going to start with a very difficult passage from Luke. It's difficult because we get caught up in these powerful quotes, don't we? Doctor, heal thyself. And something about a prophet not being able to come home and to their own hometown. It's a little distracting. And if we do that, we miss the message. If we come back to center stage, just come back with me to center stage. And remember that last week, Jesus is in the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth. We're still with Jesus in the same place, same day. Remember that just before the start of this gospel, he pulls out a scroll. He quotes Isaiah and tells us, all of us, that he comes to free the oppressed, give sight to the blind, and bring good news to the poor. Then, with all eyes on him, he rolls up that scroll, hands it off to an attendant, and sits down. Why he sits down, I don't know. But then he, from that seated position, says a very important line. He says, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." That is probably the message from Luke, that the fulfillment of scripture is happening in and through Christ in your hearing. But Jesus, instead of giving this crowd, who at first is in awe of him, what they want, which is deliverance from oppression, past oppression, present oppression, he gives them a different message, an unexpected message, so that we start with Jesus awing them waiting for these wonderful things that he's going to do, that they've heard from Capernaum that he's done, to a Jesus that makes them very angry. Angry enough so that they drive him out toward a cliff and chase him out of town, his own hometown. So what did they hear? What did they hear that made them angry? Well, they heard stories of Elijah and Elisha, two Old Testament prophets from 1 and 2 Kings. But both stories that Jesus references are stories about outsiders, about those prophets serving people outside of the Jewish people, about people coming to them for healing, for help. And once they hear that message, they turn, because instead of being affirmed, their group is denied. Because they don't want to see people outside of their context. They want to remain insular and focus on their group. They, in short, refuse to hear. If we think really hard about it, the group that we're in defines us, right? Jesus says no. No. We have to accept the outsiders that come to us. The widow that Jesus references, the Syrian commander Naaman. If you seek, you will find God. Then you will be able to hear. This is the message in our tiny little preposition that's so powerful today, in your hearing. I returned home last Sunday from being at my own diocesan convention. Now, I belong to the Diocese of Florida, which is Northeast Florida. You guys are obviously Alabama. You have your own group convention coming up at the end of this month, I believe. So we had a great time down in Tallahassee, Florida last week. We worshiped together, we sang together, we actually danced to a disco band together. That was fun. But I was sitting there before the business meeting last week. This was Saturday morning at 9 a.m. And I was feeling extremely blue. I was in the dumps, even though I was at a wonderful convention. I was in the dumps because I'm a seminarian who has to find a job, doesn't know where she and her family's going to go. And I was feeling a little blue about leaving my good friends that I've made up in Suwannee. So a little voice right up here said, "You know what you need? You need a haircut." So, I took my then shoulder-length hair and myself to Supercuts. I waited in the parking lot. And mind you, I did this with a little trepidation because spur-of-the-moment haircuts never work out for me. When I was 25, I went to get my hair cut before meeting my new in-laws for the first time, and I accidentally came out with less than a half inch all over my head, and that's the way I greeted them as a pixie, and I was embarrassed. But something called the Holy Spirit led me right to Supercuts that morning. I tell you, what awaited me was something special. I walked in the door, and a beautiful girl, 22 years old probably, well-dressed with a cute haircut, so that helped my self-esteem, because she had a cute cut, so I could have one too. Her name was Donna. And we stood in front of that mirror at her station side by side, looking in the mirror. And like an idiot, I blathered on about how my long hair was a hassle, I have trouble controlling it, I wanted to be cute again, blah, blah, blah. I felt stupid going on and on and on, but I just, you know, couldn't shut my mouth. I was having one of those moments where it wouldn't shut, just like now. Well, Donna took one look at me and said, "Sit down and shut up." And I'm not joking, that's exactly what she said. Then she said, "I know exactly what you need." The butt was barely out of my mouth before she interrupted me again. "Just calm down and trust me." "Yes, ma'am," I said, and I plopped down in the chair probably pretty heavily. You know, God is in all these tiny things, these tiny interactions that we have. The Holy Spirit was moving all through Donna, around Donna, and in that place for me that morning. I only had to do what Donna told me to do, which was to sit down, shut up, and for heaven's sake, calm down. So we went into the particulars of the haircut. You know how you do when you're sitting there in that chair. And I grumbled some more with my big mouth about how my hair does this or does not do that. And finally, she said, "I know what I'm doing. Be quiet." Was that the third time she told me to be quiet? I think so. And here's the kicker. She held out two beautiful ebony hands with the most perfect manicure in front of me, just like this. She said, "I pray over these hands every night. I thank God for them every single day. These are my gift from God, and they allow me to make a living. And with these, God sees me through everything." I was dumbstruck. Because, of course, here was God actively working around me, right? Jesus was saying to me right then, "If you will only listen and begin to hear, wonderful things will happen in your hearing." Indeed, there he was, putting another child of God right next to me to tell me to listen and to calm down. We do this for each other. God is ever present, always guiding, always calming. He reveals himself to us right in front of us if we allow ourselves to hear and listen. And it so happens that that person is outside of our normal existence. It's the person that he sends to us to speak to us, to comfort us. But they are often right there, outside. I didn't know Donna before I walked into Supercuts that morning. But she preached to me. So here in Grace Church, and in that synagogue, but right here in Grace Church, God is present through those outsiders. And on that Saturday morning, it was a petite 22-year-old Donna, just starting out in life. She had cut hair in her daddy's shop her whole life, she said. Then went to grab hold of her dream with those two well-prayed-over hands. And it was a dream of getting a license and being on her own, a very big thing for her, a very big thing for any 22-year-old. And I was so amazed at the audacity of God showing up at Supercuts to give me a little slap. that I barely heard Donna say, "I just paid my January rent, and it's the 26th, but I never worry. I know God gives me what I need when I need it. And I had to scrape together the money to pay my tuition bill, but then I just had enough to make the rent, finally." Pow. Another blow for God, and I was being preached to. And yes, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing, if you care to hear and listen. So how often is God right there for you delivering that message? You know, we have options, don't we? We can listen. Perhaps we'll hear, and then we'll respond. Maybe. Perhaps we only choose to listen and reject. Maybe we're like the Syrian commander Naaman. And if you look back when you leave church today, look back at this story in 2 Kings, I believe. Naaman is a member of the conquering force, and Elisha is the Israelite prophet that he goes to, that he seeks out for healing. Elisha tells him to go bathe in the Jordan 7 times, and Naaman says that's ridiculous and rejects the offer until he's desperate, and then he comes back again and he does what he's told and he's healed. So we can listen. We can listen and hear and then possibly reject the outsiders that God sends to us. Or maybe we can just be really stubborn like Naaman and eventually get around to it. This is what Jesus means in this gospel by outsiders. This is the reason why he suddenly becomes unpopular in his own hometown, because the message to that group in the synagogue is not one they want to hear. They don't want to listen, hear, or respond to anyone outside of their group. Luke here is saying that God is in all of this. He is universal. He's not limited to one group. And he's specifically speaking to the inclusion of Gentiles. God is always there for us, just like Donna was there for me last weekend. But whether we listen and hear and choose whether or not to respond is up to us. Are you listening? Are you hearing? How will you respond?